There's nothing quite like an aggrieved cohort of football fans in Australia, is there?
No, that's true. Nothing quite
it's
like
it's a tsunami, it. Isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's a very, very dangerous place to be if you're on the wrong side, Carlos, I reckon.
Just they're passionate. They're passionate and they'd like to, you know, have their say. And now with social media, everyone has their say.
Yes, everyone gets their say.
There's no rules.
What's been your take on the whole, what was it called? The shame file situation.
The shame file, yeah.
The shame file situation.
Of course, if you've had your head in the sand for the last, since Sunday, of course, Rebecca Wilson again, the self-styled, you know, expert of world football in Australia, decided to...
Does she profess to be an expert of world football?
Look, I know she... Whenever anyone questions her, there's a lot of yelling going on, so I suppose she'll defend herself to the hilt, but...
She's good at that.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, there was the article that shamed 198 football fans being on the FFA ban list and really portrayed them as criminals, basically, and they were on the front page of the Daily Telegraph on the weekend, and names were, you know, divulged. So there was photos there and the whole thing. So,
where did that list come from?
Good question. Good question. A lot of people are speculating about that. FFA have categorically stated that they didn't release any list. Obviously, they would know that list because they were the ones who banned these spectators. So, yeah, that's another question, whether it's police, whether it's the Sydney Stadium Trust. There's a lot of different speculation going on. And, I mean, it's the issue is so serious as far as, you know, things like defamation are concerned. I mean, there's some people who are underage on that list that have been, you know, exposed. And we all know that the courts often withhold names of people who are underage.
They're for criminal charges, though, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't...
Yeah, no.
That's more civil.
Well, it's not even civil. I mean, no one's been charged here. There's not even been a right of appeal. When I say no one's been charged, there are a number of people on that list. I don't know how many, but there are a number of people on the list who have been charged because they're for assault or whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a lot of people on that list who have been banned by the FFA for other reasons, you know, and they haven't had to deal with the police or they haven't been charged and gone through and been convicted of anything. So I reckon that the lawyers are going to have a big field day on this one here. But
you reckon they would have cleared that before they ran it, though. Newspapers aren't traditionally poor at passing up that detail in terms of what might happen should they print something or print names, particularly, which is the big issue.
I'm not sure how they vet these stories these days. It's almost like let's get it out there. Let's get all the controversy going. Let's get people talking. As you can see, Rebecca Wilson's been on, you know, a number. She hasn't been hiding since the article. She's actually been on a number of radio shows in Melbourne and in Sydney and also across TV, perpetuating the whole story since. So it's almost like the content grows legs. It becomes a monster with the different platforms that are out there. So sometimes I think they probably weigh it up. Okay, we could get sued, but... You know, that's a long process for people to sue us. Let's get the short-term benefits of just getting a reaction in the first place.
Let's look past the content of the article at the moment, Carlos. Why do you think the article was written?
Okay, well, look, my short opinion of Rebecca Wilson as a football writer. I stopped reading her stuff a while ago because what we were getting was 6-monthly or 12-monthly articles that were inflammatory. They were clearly not researched all that well. She certainly doesn't appear to go to games. So a lot of her stuff was pretty much ill-informed, poorly researched, outrageous in its comp, sensationalised, all those sort of things there. And I learnt very, very quickly that I was learning nothing from her writing. I read everything I can in Australian football that's written about Australian football in this country.
Yep.
But she's the only journo. And by the way, a lot of stuff I don't like from journos, but it's usually articulated in a way where it's researched. And it's done by a person who actually knows the game, understands the game, but just has a different opinion to what I might think.
Yep.
She has no idea about the game. She has a misunderstanding of the game. She's totally ignorant about the issues. And she goes with some inflammatory idea and just goes to town with it.
So you're suggesting there's an agenda at play as opposed to... Because she's clearly not an analyst of the game. I don't think she's ever claimed to be an analyst of the game or a sort of game reporter type journalist. So you think there's an agenda at play?
I don't know about the agenda, but it's not balanced. Her reporting's not balanced. There's enough good stuff that's happened in Australian football in the last 10 years in particular, 11 years in particular, that if she was serious and balanced in her coverage, that we'd see the odd article that would be saying, gee, this was really good about Australian football, or this is really great about Timmy Cahill or whatever. We just never get that. Yep. It's a six-monthly, it's a formula. I see it as a formula. I see her, the aim of her writing is to get a reaction, and she's very good at that. She's very good at that. I did a bit of research today to say, okay, well, because I don't read any of her stuff. I don't read any of her stuff with NRL or any opinion pieces she has. Not because it's usually football that I'm focused on.
Yeah.
And so I decided to just Google it today and find out, you know, what, you know, does she write well for rugby league? Does she write well with AFL in Sydney, for example? And all I got on the first page was her having stashes with Dermot Brereton and people in rugby league.
That was on the run home.
Absolutely. And so it seems like, and I'm not an expert at this, it seems like the formula of not necessarily having a lot of facts there, and not the facts don't really matter a lot of times. It's the issue that she likes to run with that's quite sensational, and it does draw a reaction, and she's very good at that.
All right, let's play the ball here, and I'm not saying you're playing the man, by the way, but let's play the ball and talk about what the content of the article is now. That the 198 people are banned on this shame file list, and perhaps the line of writing from a lot of journalists across the country to slant the game and its supporters in a negative light. Is there reason for this, Carlos, or is it an overreaction, as you might have just said then, I think, to a few incidents through the journey that have become big highlights because, and it has been that left-to-centre game for a while, that it's becoming more mainstream, and we think, from the anecdotal evidence we have, that the big games in town are a little bit intimidated by what might be coming their way?
Well, definitely they know the games, the codes that aren't football, of course, the competitors in the marketplace, of course, they know that football is a competitor now. It's run particularly well, a lot better than we used to be. Before, we used to talk about Australian football shooting itself in the foot because the way it was managed, the old Soccer Australia days, if you remember.
Yep, yep.
When it became FFA, John O'Neill came in, it was run on the A-League, Australia started making World Cups. Suddenly, professional people were running the game. So the game now is being run, which is horrifying for the codes out there because suddenly, even though football, soccer, is starting from way back compared to the AFL and rugby's and the other sports of this world, it can actually catch up pretty quickly with good administration. So, of course, it's a competitor, but no more than cricket being a competitor of AFL or rugby. And people would say, oh, we can all live, you know, quite comfortably together. And as a fan, you can watch everything here. But sports are vying for community dollars, sponsorship dollars, especially in the grassroots where the numbers and the participation rates, they're big dollars as far as sponsorship's concerned. So to say that we're going to give world football or soccer a free kick over AFL, well, suddenly if you make soccer look better than AFL on a certain issue or a certain topic or in participation, sponsors will gravitate to them. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of competition in that area, but that's fine. I have no problem with that at all. As far as the journalists or the media who appear to be biased against the sport, well, anyone who doesn't go to the games and doesn't understand the games, and doesn't have a relationship with the game to a certain extent, or some care for the game, or some interest in the game, I don't read their stuff. I mean, you know, how offensive, to the people of France and the people who've lost things. The Alan Jones comments about Australian A-League fan behaviour and equating that to the tragedy or the terrorism in France. I mean, you can't get more offensive and more insensitive at this time.
The most disgusting moments on radio.
Absolutely, absolutely. So do you take him seriously when he talks about the A-League? Has he ever been to an A-League game? Has Rebecca Wilson ever been to an A-League game? If it was a Michael Lynch, a David Davidovic, a Michael Cockerell who said that, I would listen because they are invested in the game. They go to the game. They don't pussyfoot around the game. They write honestly about the game. So I would listen. I might not agree, but I would listen. But these other people, they're peripheral to me. They're irrelevant to me, but they are very good at getting the reaction. So I'm not going to get into this They hate the game. They're trying to predict the other codes. They're just not good writers about the game, and that's why I'm not interested in them at all.
Okay. All right. So what are you saying? What are you asking our fans today, Carlos? On the back of that, because we are playing the ball here. We're playing the issue at hand as opposed to the people that are involved in perhaps writing these things. What do you want to say? What's the question for our fans today?
What's important to address here is, do we have, and this is what I want, in our talkback, that's what I want to address. Our SMS is, you know, if you want to slam these, you know, Rebecca Wilson, Ellen Jones, do that on social media. This is not the forum for it right now because we've had enough of that. Do we have a crowd problem in the game? And I want people who go to the game, right, to ring up and let us know. And I know people out there might think, oh, well, everyone's going to ring up and say it's great. But I did hear some callers on the run home, I think on Monday, after Rebecca Wilson was on with the boys.
Yep.
And one or two callers said they were uncomfortable at A-League games at different times. I want to hear that too. Because if we've got a problem, we've got to look at honestly at the problem and see whether we need to do something about it.
Well, that's the only way we can move forward, Callum.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we just end up in this cycle of hatred as opposed to dealing with some of the issues, if there are issues, from a fan's point of view in the games. And that's where the game grows.
Yep.
And this is where the FFA have got to really step up too. And I don't know if this is part of the psychology, they've denied leaking this, part of the psychology of having it out there, that it does put fans on notice saying, well, this is what's going to happen. If you keep this up, we'll name you if we have to. And I'm not saying the FFA have done that, but that could be a conspiracy theory.
Well, it's a poor strategy if that's the case. but from my point of view, I went to NSL as a kid. I've been to A-League and I've been through all this.
Yep.
And I don't feel threatened. And you know me, there's something wrong with the game. There's poor crowd behaviour, I'll say it.
Yep.
I'm anti-flares. I'm anti-abuse. I'm anti not the lack of family atmosphere or the family friendly atmosphere. If there's any of that, I'll say it. But I go to the games. I go with my friends. I don't initially go as media. I sit in the crowd, and I've never ever felt threatened. Yes, I haven't been happy about some of the behaviour of some groups as far as their language sometimes, and you know, the flare issue for me, there's no justification about having flares. I actually have seen big groups of fans abuse the police to their face, which I thought was awful. But that doesn't happen every week. And I think I've seen it once in 11 years that I've been involved with the A-League. So that's my perspective of it. But there's people who go every week. They're sitting there every week quite close. What do you think? Do we have a problem? And maybe, you know, how should we handle the problem?